Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Riverdale After Show. We're breaking down Season 2, Episode 22, Brave New World. The season comes to a startling question mark conclusion. Veronica gets into real estate, Archie wins student body president, and Jughead is head of the Serpents. Did we like it? Did we not like it? We're going to break that all down and more next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That. Once again, DJ Sam with the ones and twos, bringing us into this episode of Riverdale After Show, breaking down the season finale of Riverdale, airing Wednesday nights in the CW. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
Hey guys, I'm Sam Davidson. In the live chat tonight, I know we all have a lot of feelings. Let's share them. Let's talk about them.
Hey guys, Shay Jones. You guys are funny. That's all I have to say about this chat right now.
And as always, folks, yes, why don't you like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and hop in the chat. Do what Sam said. Get in there. Share your thoughts. Share your feelings. Share your speculations about what happened with this episode of Riverdale and where it's heading into Season 3. Before we break it down in detail, real quick, what did the two of you think?
I was disappointed, and I thought the last episode was much better. There's a name for it, the episode before the finale. I can't exactly think of what that name is, but it typically is better than a finale. It happens a lot, but this one, it was strongly better.
Is it like the denouement?
It's like Pinta... Ben knew it. Gotta miss Ben.
Penultimate. That's it.
Yes. Start with the P. There we go. Penultimate. That
and
was
ends
better.
With an ultimate.
Uh-huh.
Shay?
For me, I did like the episode. However, I do feel like last week's episode should have been the season finale.
And by the way, guys, Shauna, I know you miss her. She isn't here tonight. We miss her. We love her. She doesn't feel very well.
That is true. Send her your woes on Twitter.
Send her a bunch of love right now. She'd love it.
And our captain has always been Bateman, somewhere in the great world. Under the sea.
He's in a submarine currently. He can't really communicate with us, but sometimes he sends us bubbles.
But you know he's looking good.
Yeah.
That you can rest assured.
In
sight
a suit.
Unseen.
Always.
We'll break it down a little bit in detail about these different storylines. But yeah, it just felt, just kind of a meh kind of ending.
It wasn't even the ending. I really, really don't like when I'm deceived. I think previews for next week, when you show them... It cannot be a dream. That is not fair. You can get us upset by a dream sequence in an episode and get us scared that it's real, but to do that in the season finale of next week, it was literally a blip of a dream in Jughead's head, and that really made me mad.
Well, of course they're going to play with that. If they want to toy with viewers' emotions. After
we're not five.
But did anybody really? Nobody really thought he was dead anyway.
I know, but I wanted him to be in witness protection program or something.
Well, let's just jump right into the whole, we start with Jughead, is he wakes up and basically there's been a time jump.
His jaw's back.
His jaw was never gone, Sam. He just had his mouth open in a weird angle. But we've done a time jump, so we've missed all, like, the big startling conclusion to the whole riot.
How much of a time jump was this?
I want to say, like, a week or a couple, at least a couple of days.
Yeah, at least it seems
happened.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had time for the police to round everybody up. I felt like there was at least a couple days because I'm sure he was probably unconscious for a little while. So did you like the giant time jump? Did it not bother you? Did you feel like, I really wanted to kind of follow this riot all the way through and all its storylines to the end? Or you're fine, like, yeah, Jughead's, injury is probably the highlight of it. So let's just jump ahead to the aftermath.
Yeah, I don't really need to figure out. You can just tell me what happened after the riot. I'm okay with my knowledge of that. I really don't need to actually see it. Because I want to know, now what's happening now that he's waking up. Is he still, how he's going to feel? That's what I'm actually curious, more interested in, personally, just as a viewer.
And we have a Nella J in the chat. I'm laughing at y'all for being mad last week when some people thought Jughead was dead.
A lot of emojis.
Well, I just wanted it to be something more intelligent than a dream. I think sometimes I have too high of hopes for this show. And then when my hopes are low and I'm like, this show, it succeeds them and it blows them out of the park. And so I'm always kind of don't know what to expect.
But I think it's hard for any writer to set up that expectation at the end of an episode where a character could be dead. And not at least toy with the audience by doing some sort of dream sequence.
Well, he's like alternate universe of like him being gone. I would actually would have appreciated that.
I would have appreciated a lot of things.
And we're going to give Sam ample opportunity to share her thoughts during the course of the episode. But, good old FP breaks it all down. Says, hey, you know what? The serpents are no more. They either joined up with the ghoulies, they fled town, or they're arrested. Or they're hiding low, waiting to get out of town.
I have a question. So in the episode prior, there are 30-1 versus Jughead, right?
Yes.
And apparently people came out of the woodwork. Serpents just came out of, wherever they came from. So if that's the case, if there's only 30 ghoulies that we've been introduced to, where do the other half come from enough to defeat the serpents who came out the woodwork?
Well, I'm assuming there were more than just 30 ghoulies.
They come from the trees, okay? Their names are ghoulies. They live up there. I don't know. I feel bad because I hated on you guys last week because I said the episode before, you guys, when I was gone, I was like, you guys are so mad at the show. It's a great show. Shut up, guys, for saying bad things about it. But now I am, I'm a little burned. I'm a little burned, so we'll continue to. I'm still going to watch it. Don't worry, guys. I'll still be here forever.
This felt like also an episode where people were not telling everybody the full story. Whether it's FB telling Jughead the whole scoop about the serpents, whether it's the sheriff telling the serpents about the real deal with Fang. A lot of people not sharing full information to get their own objectives met.
Can we talk about the Fang thing?
Please do.
Okay, so Fang's not dead. Super stoked about that. That's where I thought the witness protection, Sweetwater River, something could have come into effect. Perfect place for Jughead to have gone as well. No, he's just back in the stands. Everyone just accepts the fact. They go, Fang is dead. Nope, cool. He's here. Everyone mourned him. But now he's just back. He's not even in disguise. Like, isn't everyone going to be freaked out that Fang is back? No. No one even batted an eye.
Well,
I figured after a couple of days, like, they already know that Midge's mom is the one that shot him. So maybe the process of that maybe smoothed it.
I just don't know why anybody didn't go to the hospital at all to talk to Fang's parents or even just verify. They just take the word of somebody they get a phone call from and go, oh, yep, Fang's dead. Well, let's go crazy.
It seemed like FP... Did he know he was alive, or he just got word and said...
No, he knew. I think he planned it.
Yeah, he planned it. But where did he put him? Like, where was it that was...
Somewhere with Joaquin, maybe, for a couple of days.
Wait, that FP knew Fang was alive the whole time?
Yeah.
No, because...
He said that. Like, I just told you that.
Yeah.
Like, it was a ploy. Like,
ploy by Hiram to get the serpents to revolt. FP wasn't in on it. He found out, like,
not
everybody
the revolt,
else.
But the whole Fang dead thing.
I think FP might have been in on it.
No, FP was not in on that because he was set up to get the serpents riled up to go and fight against the ghoulies. That's all. So he fell forward as much as everybody else did.
There was a moment this evening as I was watching this that I'm, looking at FP, looking at Skeet Ulrich, and I'm thinking to myself, God, Sam, don't let Scream happen to you again. What if FP was somehow behind everything and he's never been a good father? But and I totally thought he was going to bully all of us. If you guys haven't seen Scream, sorry, he's the killer. And
wow, you just have to burst spoilers.
It's like 30 years old.
Some people still haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Well, then you should. Just kidding. But he isn't bad. I mean, he's still drinking. That's the problem.
Well, I think at that point he had enough. He's like, I am entitled right now to my drink.
No,
even if
he's
it's just
not.
To wallow. Can I just get a day to wallow? I had to pick up my son and carry him. I thought he was dead. The serpents are disbanded.
It's a slippery slope, though, for somebody that's got issues with alcohol.
True.
Let's see. Nella J lying in the Nella J said lying about Fangs being dead was genius to move Hiram's plan along.
Genius.
Yeah, but I feel like certainly the serpents proved him right. Hiram must assume, like, oh, we'll just tell them this. They're going to be too dumb to really check, and they're just going to believe whatever we tell them.
So basically we're saying that now FP is working for Hiram.
No. FP got fooled along with the serpents. So he had the sheriff call FP to say, hey, guess what? Fang's dead. FP tells everybody else. Nobody checks on to see if Fang is really dead, and they all get mad,
you know,
and they all fight the ghouls.
You're right. You're right, Frank. I think you got us on this one. I get it now.
Oh, all right.
I will give you that.
We've all learned and grown a little bit in our life. And if you folks want to do that as well, we've got a podcast just for you. And that's Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, created by none other than our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos. And it drops on iTunes every single Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career, finances, relationships, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. So all you have to do is go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And when you do, let her know that it was Sam from the ABTV Riverdale show that got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
Love it.
That's
great,
right.
In the car. It's perfect in the car.
So we also we catch up with our Mario race. It's getting down to the wire, and we've got a good old we got Archie's dad. We've got Hermione.
Tale as old as time.
Yes.
I'm just still so confused about Hermione. It's been exactly one season since we ended last season and thought she's the big bad. We were told she wasn't, then we were told she was, and now we're kind of told she's just a puppet again.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, it feels like a little too late where she starts to kind of bristle underneath what she suspects Hiram's up to and at least tries a little bit of rebellion by giving Veronica some information that she think could stop Hiram.
Okay, sorry, Shay. I know I haven't let you talk in a second. I feel bad because I have a lot of feelings.
Do it. Lay it out, Sam.
The thing about this show is that in different episodes, Hermione is this queen. She is a scary mobster, gangster, and I could see her kind of underneath thoughts of everything, but certain episodes like these where she's just a puppet and she's upset and she's scared, it's not the same freaking character. And I'm not thinking that it's about her being schizophrenic or something. It's about maybe the writing and the inconsistency from episode to episode. That's just what I think.
But I would counter that by saying in season one, not that she was a victim, but there was some genuine kind of fearful feelings about the idea of Hiram being released and coming back into their lives until it was official. And then she's like, we gotta get back on board with the Hiram because he's coming back in town no matter what whether they like it or not.
I need to know what you think, Shay.
I actually agree. I feel like now that Hiram's out, like even though she jumped on the act, you know, that she still has it all together, but we're seeing the cracks. She is starting to crack. And that's why, like Frank said, giving a little bit of rebellion by telling Veronica what her dad's up to give her the leverage that she needs to protect herself.
So tell me what you think of this plan. So Hermione tells Veronica that, hey, yeah, your dad has almost all the soft side under his belt, but there's one piece of land that he can't get yet, and that's the white worm. But he's in negotiations to get that property, so why don't you use the money that you've got from the whole Nick St. Clair thing, buy that out from under him, and you can stop the whole thing. So she does buy it, but then after talking with Jughead, it says, oh, we have an opportunity for something different. So she barters with it, and gets Pop's Chocolate Shop in exchange for the White Worm, and then she releases all, like, family obligations and ties to Lodge Industries in exchange for that as well. Does it seem like you get Pop's Chocolate Shop, but you also let Hiram just get what he wants? He gets the rest of the South Side.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, even though I love the sentiment. But I'm like, because what I thought she was going to do was actually, she's going to buy it, then give the deed to Jughead, which would have been a better idea, and have him over control of it.
Yeah.
However, that has its own, you know, downsides to that because, you know, Sheriff Minetti could just come in and take over, you know, seize your place. However, she would have kept it as the owner proprietor. She could have did what she wanted to do with Pop's Chocolate Shop and did it there and have the one thing her dad needs, and he won't kill her for it.
I don't really think Hiram is going to kill Veronica unless it's him or her.
Oh, but if it comes to that, she gonna win.
Oh, I mean, I think she will. Here's the thing, and a lot of people in the chat are voicing the same opinion. She's a teenager, and she's not acting like a teenager. I mean, apparently now that she has this random $1 million under her belt that she extorted from a rapist, I mean, like, great person to extort it from. Totally support it. But also, you know, it doesn't make... She thinks she can do whatever she wants, but the thing is that she is proving to be smarter. than a big chunk of the parents and the adults on this show. Whatever she's doing, I think is good. She gets too confident, though, and I think her new idea for Pops is stupid.
I actually like the idea of it, but like I'm saying, I wish you would just kept the White Worm and do what you want to do. There's a basement in the White Worm. You could have just turned into what you needed to turn into.
Yeah, it seems, I can understand why, because I know Jughead never wants to eat at the Pop's Chocolate Shop, given what Hiram did to her, firing FP. And that's what kind of leads Veronica, like, hey, wait, we can turn this around and reclaim Pop's as our own personal space. Plus, we got a basement we can turn into a really cool speakeasy. We can get Josie down there and the rest of the Pussycats, maybe reunite them and get some singing next season.
It really makes me mad how they randomly just interject Josie to sing sometimes. I mean, and they try to develop her as a character. They got us so excited. She was a series regular. And yeah. I mean, they just made a couple other people series regular for next season. But
Reggie and Tony.
It means nothing to me if they're going to have as much screen time as Josie did this season. And I forget who else they made series regular. Kevin. Nothing.
I always think it's interesting how even when Riverdale first came out, like, their posters were everywhere, but they included Kevin and Josie. So we're expecting to see a lot more of them than we do. And even when they were made series regulars, we'll get maybe one episode that focuses on them, and then Josie and herself is gone for 4 episodes or 5. And then we see her again.
Yeah, it's like she has not had much of a development, other than she has a kind of icy relationship with her dad. Right now she's broken in with the Pussycats. She's kind of making a way on her own. But that's pretty much all we know about Josie. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'd love to see a storyline about her.
I want to be fleshed out a little bit more, because it's almost something you were saying about Hermione. I feel like Hermione is a double-layered character. Like, she has so many layers, and we're slowly, like, just keep pulling it back, and we're just, like, surprised every time something happens, and she seems more vulnerable, and if her fear takes over. But with Josie, it's just like, she can sing. Like, I'm like, I'm stumped. I'm like, I can only say...
She has some, you know, family problems. Don't we all?
Yeah. She's better with her mom now, though. I give credit for that.
And, I mean, shout out to Kevin, though. He did get his moment in this episode, and it probably was the one that they play when they go, you're going to be a series regular. You and Moose are finally going to kiss. And then they go, just give it to him at the end.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the executive producer was saying, like, hey, we wanted to make sure that scene didn't get cut, because that's an easy scene to cut out, and it doesn't really affect much else of the episode. But he wanted to keep it in to be able to hopefully tease something more for season 3. But given how they've treated them since even the pilot up till now, and the lack of growth on either of those characters, it doesn't fill me with a lot of... I would love to see more of that, but I also don't have confidence that we are going to get a lot more of that in season 3. Which is
fair
kind
enough.
Of... we also have everybody... because Josie wants to get back to singing, after talking with her mom, everybody's now abandoning their run for student president. Yeah,
I mean,
except for Ethel. Ethel and Archie.
And Archie, yeah.
And I will say, that gives me even more questions about Ethel. Ethel is just ready to be front and center no matter what. She's been sketchy. She's the bodyguard killer, you know, like in the dressing room with all of her, like, little cut up, I will kill you, all that. Carrie, I don't trust her. We didn't get any kind of conclusion with storylines regarding her and a lot of other people. And I wanted us to, especially if they were going to mention her. I thought we were going to get
I thought we were going to be able to see her, actually. I'm just, like, maybe just her. Even her just sitting there, like, waiting to, like, hear if she gets it. I would have just liked to see her, like, have a reaction towards it, just hearing it. Oh, Archie won. Yay!
Yeah, we never see her once. All we see is her campaign poster. That's it.
I know that, as much as I love Riverdale, the town and the show of Riverdale can be a little basic. So... could Ethel be related to Cheryl just because she has red hair and be another devil child?
I mean, who knows? I mean, we still have no connection either with Molly Ringwald and her red hair.
Gingers. I mean, I still have questions about her. I'm just saying, I think they have red all the time. It's a theme. They're not just going to have this random Ethel character be semi-shady and have red hair and not mean anything.
Especially have Cheryl's own personal serpent jacket. Be bright as red as possible.
Of course, it's got to be. But that's also another story that never really got followed up on, explored, was the idea that they're opening up to anybody that has a drop of Blossom blood is welcome. And, you know, we never followed on that at all.
There's so many
with her becoming a servant.
When they do the reading of the will at the beginning of the season, like, anybody that's got a drop of Blossom blood.
Well, and Chick, we have no Chick. no mention of him. Like, he never existed. We all know that Chick is still a part of this. He's still alive.
Is he alive, or did Tallboy get, or, well, the Black Hood, whoever is the Black Hood at that moment?
Claudius.
And, you know, from my Instagram stalking, I'm pretty sure they're all really close. You know, Hart Denton, they're all very good friends. And I think they're going to continue to be shooting together, just from what I can gather.
Oh, all right.
This is my thing.
But it annoyed me they didn't mention him.
Well, I was with Hal, because he said, you're just like me. So Hal was the one in the cemetery with Betty. My question for him, that's a perfect moment to say, but you gave Chick over to me. That's a perfect opportunity. But nothing.
No, I mean, unless it wasn't him. It was the person that was also dressed up as a Black Hood, which we at least think right now is Tallboy, according to the police.
Well, okay.
As honorable as they are.
Questions for Tallboy. We haven't seen Tallboy in forever. So out of some reason, and we already know Tallboy is tall as hell. The Black Hood, semi-average height for a guy. There's no way that could possibly be Tallboy. He's the tallest of all the serpents. So I'm sorry, I have issues with you, Mr. Sheriff Minetti.
Well, I mean, it's an easy pin, I guess, to put on somebody that has already kind of shown that they have a, you know,
prior history.
Yeah, prior history of doing stuff. So he's already hooked up with Penny, been involved with all that stuff. So Archie, I guess, you know, didn't decide to take time to measure him. Like, wait, I came up to head to head with that guy, but you know, I'm only like head to chest with Tallboy.
He's met Tallboy before, so I'm pretty sure you would know if you're fighting Tallboy or not.
There's only so many tall people in the world. That's true.
Yeah, there's only so many.
There's only so many that also happen to live in Riverdale.
Let's see. Taylor James in the chat said the actor that plays Tallboy got into an accident and broke his neck and was supposed to be in the finale, and I guess really wasn't.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, real world injuries, they had to, you know, if they were certainly riding to that, they had to just kind of make the best they could in that situation.
At the same time, though, they haven't really brought him up much, mentioned him, you know, in the past, God, how many? It's been 22? 22 episodes?
Well, no, he was in this season, because didn't he get... He got the boot earlier this season.
Well, that was like between episodes 10 and 15-ish. Yeah. And I'm actually giving him probably a lot more credit right now for that, because I can't actually remember the last time Tallboy was in there.
That's when FP gave him the boot, after he betrayed them by hooking up with Penny and hire him to screw the serpents.
Right. So that was like before the mid-season finale, right?
I think so.
So it's like 13 episodes in and we haven't heard from Tallboy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the big thing is, how do the two of you feel about, at least right now, the resolution of the Black Hood?
Archie, if you believe it, you're dumb. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sheriff, and as do people in the chat, definitely has something to do with it. And they did this to us in the mid-season finale. I'm super annoyed that they're ending the second season with not really explaining who the Black Hood is. And they did that mid-season finale, and I was livid. And everyone goes, oh, it's that. No, it's not the janitor. It was not the freaking janitor. And it still isn't. How did we watch 22 episodes? And we still don't know who the freaking Black Hood really is. I mean, Hal, whatever. Hal's a putz. Like, yeah. He just does whatever anyone tells him to. He's messed up. Not a good guy. But he is not the one in charge of this. And I hate that we didn't figure it out.
I'm guessing that there's nobody really in charge of Hal. But basically, Hiram uses Tallboy to act as a copycat to kind of just whatever he can hook up to whatever the Black Hood's doing. And then Tallboy's a convenient scapegoat. So they can kill him when he's done what they needed him to do, and then he's never going to blab about anything.
So you actually believe it's Tallboy?
I feel like barring that injury, if he was in this episode, I feel we would have seen what the sheriff described to Archie. That they would have just shown up at his place. You would have been like, oh yeah, I did what Hiram wanted. And the cops would have been like, oh, you know, they would have just set it up to make it look like, you know, hey, we just found you. We didn't even know you're the Black Hood. We're going to take you alive, and they kill him just so you can't blab anything.
I feel personally victimized by this season 2 finale of Riverdale. I'm not even kidding. I mean, you guys know how much I rewatch every episode and put in so much work. I'm not going to cry, but like maybe tomorrow once the anger wears off. I just need some answers. I appreciate there's a season 3, but, like, prove yourself to me.
I'm just really upset by lots of things that happened in this episode. I'm mostly mad at Archie. I mean, I get the frustration, but dude, you never play chess. You never tell your opponent your next move. I'm sorry, that's the most beginning mistake you can ever make going up against, especially when you're going up against Hiram Lodge.
Yes. This Archie episode, we see Archie at both his most heroic and helpful, and then we also see him at his most stupid. I mean, he really helps out the Serpents, stands up with them at school to be able to keep them from getting kind of shuttled out to a school 2 hours away. So he stands up and he does the right thing there, and they're like, all right, yeah, and everybody votes for him for student body president. But then you're right. We also see him go to Hiram and have that knife out and basically say, hey, lays out everything that he's going to be doing. I know what you've done. I know what you did in terms of that kid that you almost died. I practically saw you
and
kill.
And then he's going to get his bones with a knife by stabbing, I don't know, what was it, a dresser?
His desk, I think.
Desk. A desk.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my bones, sir. Boom, stab your desk. By God, what a...
I'm sorry, that's just... I'm like, has Veronica taught you nothing? I'm just sorry. I have to the reason I got in, you couldn't even just say I found a key under the mat or something. No, Veronica leaves the door unlocked for me in the servants' quarters. Really?
Yeah, you got to blab everything. Yeah, I mean, Archie is proven time and time again he's not the smartest. Yeah, when he lets his emotions kind of cloud his thinking.
And Matt Marr did just text me. I see it on my computer as we speak. This Riverdale episode was all over the place. It was. I will agree with you on that. I'm not even kidding. He just said that. Popped up on my computer.
It actually did.
Yeah. It's, I almost feel like it would have been nice to have an episode this season more from Hiram's point of view.
Yes.
Just to see, even if we don't want to, we have to like the guy, but at least we understand more of his point of view about what he's trying to do and how he operates.
He's basically trying to turn Riverdale into some cornucopia of bad things and get away with it.
You guys know I still have my supernatural inkling, which I just don't think there's any way they can have a spinoff of this show that's supernatural and not have this show be supernatural at all.
I was thinking that, and the only reason I thought that was because Ethel, maybe she's a witch. If they're going to give me something, give me that, because that would explain a lot about Ethel.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, time and time again, for many series that we watch, where they have the season-long baddie, I always feel like more often than not, you never really get enough of a development of that character to really invest with them. So by the end, when they reveal their grand plan, you're like,
I could care less. Yeah. Cool. Go wear your sweater.
Yes. So I felt the same thing for Hiram. It just give us an episode from his point of view. Let us get invested in him and let us know, even if the characters don't know, but we know everything that he's up to and why. So we have more of a vested interest in either he wins or he doesn't win.
Here's one of the things I love about watching TV, and that I am a professional TV watcher, and I...
I need to prove it.
Seriously, though. I know as a viewer, when a character gives us a secret that none of the other characters know, that makes us as viewers feel special and kind of into the whole thing and to have information the rest of the characters in the show don't have, theoretically speaking, is really fun. But to have a character for 22 episodes that we have no freaking clue, and by the end we still don't have a clue, we just know he's bad, that's not that fun for me, and I want those characters to die. But the villains that do give us the stories, I like them.
Yeah. Something somebody in the chat said I want to just touch on, because they said, obviously, Archie didn't kill Cassie. Andre did. But the thing about that is, Andre is now dead, so there's no one to disprove what happened.
Well, I mean, do we know that? We saw Andre behind the desk and blood was kind of coming out, pulled around his head, but we don't know if he's necessarily dead or not, do we?
We don't think he's alive either.
No, we don't know either way if he's alive or dead. Nobody's ever said anything.
And I don't really know why we care. Why, out of all people, it's those random townies that decided to go and interject the romantic weekend and the cabin. How rude.
That's right.
Unless it wasn't random. Unless and if it wasn't, they should have explained that to us in this last episode. There's 22. There was 22 episodes. There should have not been one thing that was unanswered. We had so much dead space this season.
I mean, if that's the case, if you're going to answer all of our questions, then give us a new one that let them last 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, one other storyline that had a lot of questions, too, was Cheryl's story arc this season, where she had her mom and her uncle conspiring to commit her to, and then she escapes after one episode, and then you'd think that as her legal guardian, she could just throw her right back in there. But there's never any drama about that. Once she gets out, then eventually she gets former Mayor McCoy.
Well, she had her whole Carrie moment. So her mom knows that this, like, I will burn this house down with you in it if you try me today.
So she's in the barn, you know, like the animal. I mean,
a very classy barn.
It still pisses me off that moment when we thought we saw Clifford Blossom walk through, and it's really his twin brother. What a crazy big reveal. We've barely gotten anything else about that. Yeah. And that makes it so important. And it was so important to tie this season into last season with the death of Jason Blossom. And to have 22 episodes to freaking explain that and throw in a random evil twin and not give us much. Damn it, Riverdale. It's rude.
Yeah,
I just have a theory about that, but that's about it.
I don't know. I feel like the season-long arcs for Riverdale maybe aren't its strong suit. And even though they did the hood kind of halfway through the season, they still brought it back up to kind of tie up the rest of the season. I rather would have smaller episodes with like more miniature story arcs. Maybe you can have a few things kind of dangle from each arc to arc and that can build up at the end. But at least like for 4 or 5 episodes, you're telling a nice conclusive story and then you move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Did anybody else find it was symbolic? The fact that Cheryl went to the barn to deliver the letter of separation to her mother. And then when she saw Hiram, she hid in a barrel. That's some symbolism.
Well, I just think that she's so strong and she can be super scary, which will, you know, we see she's possibly going to be. But something with her family, you know, when it comes to her family, she kind of goes into that child's pose and is crying and is scared and turns into a child again. And that's what we saw of her in the barrel. But every other time we see her, she's super strong. But when it comes to her family, she just turns into a child.
I love we saw Nana Rose, but didn't hear anything from her. She's like, oh, yes. Now that, you know, my Nana Rose is my guardian, taking care of her young ward.
Yeah.
I just love Cheryl. She gives me life in the most amazing ways. And the fact that, you know, with her cape, again with the cape, she was like, I'm going to go see, you know, the White Worm. And for the first time, I saw her mom, like, show she cared about her daughter. In the sense of, like, you know, don't go there. Because, like, she knew if her daughter went there, she would lose her daughter. But it's something interesting about Penelope. You think she doesn't even care about her children. I mean, she cared about Jason, but she didn't really care about Cheryl. And then you see for a split second that, oh, I actually do have feelings or of some type of care for you.
Well, sometimes I think about this before I go to sleep, you know? I think.
All right.
I think, can't wait to hear. Does Penelope Blossom really hate her daughter? Or is she just doing a secret plan to protect her? Is all of this somehow to protect her children? Like, she didn't protect Jason, and that's why she's going to all these crazy, weird strengths. Like, you know, starting a brothel. Probably not. You know, I like to see the good in people, but
she had her committed, Sam.
She had her do gay conversion therapy.
I'm not saying she's right, but some people are nuts and think they're helping people, and they're not.
Okay. Well, speaking of her brothel, that is just one part of the greater plan that Hiram has now assembled since he has all the pieces.
Kind of sounds like Westworld. They're creating a new Westworld.
They've got the prison. They've got the ghoulies to run the drugs. They've got Penny there to kind of oversee the ghoulies. You know, they've got, she wants her brothel. That's on hold for right now.
I'm just waiting for Polly to come and be like, I'll take care of the babies.
Basically, I feel like Polly might be doing something on the side against her family, but I also think it's a little bit motivated maybe by Hiram. Because I feel like she's being punished for what happened with Jason, and she had to kind of almost get kicked out of her family, even though none of that is Betty's fault. Maybe a lot of it's Alice's, but still, I feel like this is her way of getting revenge, and Hiram, like he did with Archie, is twisting it and taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
I don't think Hiram is part of that. I think that's just a separate thing.
Just like two totally different kinds of crazy.
Yeah, because I don't want Hiram to be part of that, because then it's like Hiram's involved in every single facet and aspect of everybody's lives. Like, that's a little too much. Mm-hmm. I want to have the kooky, crazy things. Like Chick, that was a separate thing than anything else this season.
So I know, like, cool. No, he has to or be connected. Was it? No, he has. He's 100% connected.
He's connected to Hiram some way.
Hiram, no way.
No, I think
the Black Hood, definitely.
And I think all roads lead back to Hiram. So if you go, if Chick is connected to the Black Hood,
and the Black Hood is connected to Hiram.
Well, one Black Hood is connected to Hiram. The other one is
all of them.
Hal is not connected. Hal's a cuckoo banana pants that Hiram's just using to just tag on his boy next to him to commit things and get it all blamed on the Black Hood.
But he said he has multiple steps in place. So if Archie is one, getting him arrested is one, what are the other things that he has in motion?
Well, we'll have to find out next season. Now, speaking of the Cooper side of it, though, Polly comes back in town with the babies. Was it nice to see the babies, Sam?
The babies are so precious.
So we have a Cass Legault in the chat said, man, Polly is creepier than Chick. But it's real. It's
well, she wants to invite the person that helped her kind of get over everything that happened with Jason to go talk to her mom. And as her mom says, yeah, that'd be great. We see her take her sip of her tea. And then she just always like the sinister, like, look away, like,
Don't drink the tea. Yes.
All I'm like is like, cult. That's the first word that popped in my head. Cult.
There's some kind of cultish aspect that might be showing its ugly head next season.
I guess I'll leave that to predictions. My imagination is wild and it's fun to be there, but, you know, it's weird.
I was just going to say that the fact that, you know, the way she's speaking about forgiveness, when other people talk about forgiveness, it's very not just calm, but it's a relaxing more thing. The way she said it had a very creepy factor to it that I didn't pay attention so much until that moment when she took a sip of her tea. And I was just like, maybe that whole forgiveness thing is a big bowl of something somebody fed to you, and that maybe you believe it, but you haven't forgiven anything.
Maybe. We do get Betty finally deciding. She decides to at least maybe not forgive her dad, but at least go talk to her dad just to say, like, adios. See you later, buddy. I feel like since the writers already said that they wrote at the beginning of the season the Black Hood with no real idea of who this person behind the mask was going to be, I feel like the Hal reveal also exposes that fact even more so. Because I really feel it doesn't hit home to me. It doesn't like, whatever. I'm not really, like, worked up, like, oh my gosh, it was Hal. He was the Black Hood. I really don't care. And I feel like maybe that was a shortcoming, the writers not knowing who it was originally when they started writing the season.
They did plant some seeds, I will give them this, with the Cooper and Blossom, kind of the grandfathers. They killed each, you know, this entire thing. And they gave that to us last season.
Yeah.
So I can kind of appreciate how they're tying it into that these people are still crazy and want to kill each other.
I guess, but man, I really don't care that Hal is the Black Hood. And, like, so now we get to see him be Hannibal Lecter anytime we get to see him, where it's just Betty. He's got to be Clarice Starling just going down, walking to sit there in front of his weird kind of plastic hold pen that they've got him in.
You'll be back. They always come back. I mean,
oh, boy. Watching those scenes, do you care at all about anything with Hal's revelation as the Black Hood and where he's at now?
Honestly, no. I mean, was I shocked a little bit? But am I moved by it? No.
I thought that he was a great person to blame it on. A red herring. The fact that it's him, and I think I said this last week when Clifford Blossom got revealed last year as the killer. Yeah, he was obvious, but didn't actually think it was him because it would have been so easy. But again, it's the same kind of thing. But I don't know. They cannot continue the stupid storyline of a Black Hood, which has been in so many other shows, into a third season. They've already continued it for 22 episodes, and they haven't even finished it.
I will say real quick, I had a thought about... Okay, so there's something that Cheryl said to Penelope this season that made me think. What if Penelope killed her husband, or she had Claudius do it?
Well, yeah, we've thought that, I think, for a while. The whole Clifford Blossom thing. What father really would kill their son? I mean, obviously, one's in Riverdale. But you would think that it's easier to think an uncle did it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought having the uncle be behind a lot of stuff would have been a cool reveal, but they don't, at least at this moment, they don't seem to be going down that road.
I feel like I just had a nightmare. The Riverdale finale was, and then I'm going to wake up and be like, thank God that wasn't it.
That'd be a nice twist to everything that...
that this Claudius, was a nightmare, yeah.
Well, no, not that. But Claudius actually is the one that killed Jason and then ended up killing his brother and then decided to reveal himself and say, hey, I'm actually the twin.
Would have been cool, and maybe they'll do that next season when it's too little too late to have us really be as invested as we could
have
been.
Yeah, there's a whole summer in between. To, yeah.
Well, according to the interview with the executive producer that aired, that ran tonight after the show aired, they asked about, is the Blackwood storyline wrapped up? I will say what I always say about characters on Riverdale. Never say never. No one is ever completely dead. But I think if the Blackwood returns, it's probably going to be a while before he or she comes back. So I'm going to take that. I would hope that, like, let's be a long, 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 long time.
Who did we ever say was the Black Hood then? I'm sorry, Hal? That's what we're saying?
Yeah, I guess. And then Tall Boy's the Patsy.
Okay.
Or he's also a red herring that actually didn't do it.
Well, I think if Riverdale's smart, they will stay away from the Black Hood for season 3. If they want to bring it up again, maybe season 4. But let's stay away from season 3, please. All right. So, real quick, as we're getting ready to wrap up, what do you hope to see in season 3? What would you like to see? What might get you more excited about season 3 than how season 2 kind of ended for you?
Supernatural things, because honestly, it's getting so crazy that they need to do something that goes, oh, well, so-and-so's this, or this is witchcraft. I know you guys hate this, but they have to tie it in somehow if they're going to have Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is going to be coming out in 2019, I believe. I also think that Skeet and the parents, even though they're not series regulars, which is freaking ridiculous, they're going to continue to be a bigger part of the thing. And the redheads, I'm talking Archie's mom, I'm talking Ethel, and I'm talking Cheryl, are somehow going to be a thing. This is a cliche show. That's what's happening. It's redheads are going to be evil.
Mm. Okay.
Sorry, gingers out there. You're going to hate my guts, but that's what I think.
What I want to see, the possibility of the slow desolation of Buckhead. Even though I love Buckhead, but we all know Barshee's going to be in game, however that happens.
You know, the more the show goes on, the less I'm so certain of that, and the less I'm even like, do I want that?
Not really. I mean, depending on how it actually happens. It's all about how it happens for me. As long as everything's a clean break, okay, I can believe it. But if it's going to be messy, I might have an issue with it. You might as well have kept my characters together and I'd have been happy about it. I want to see Hermione give up mayorship and, like, give it to Fred, like, on the down low. And then one day, like, Fred just comes in the mayor's office and is like, oh, this is mine now. Sheriff Minetti, you're fired. Hiram Lodge, take your thing and shove it and get out of my town.
When she did come over to shake Fred's hand on a campaign well run, I honestly thought she would offer him like a deputy mayor or something as another way of kind of maybe sticking it to Hiram as well. Yeah. And she could excuse it by like, the town loves him. It's foolish to have somebody that's so beloved not in lockstep with us to be able to help us achieve what we want.
Still some chemistry, maybe.
Definitely yeah, maybe. That. And the way that Sierra was looking at that handshake, like she, like, I don't know if she senses shiftingness, but she senses something.
There's a good man in that Fred Andrews.
Oh, he's his daddy.
That's right. But I have a tough time seeing, can I see Fred Andrews and like supernatural elements in together making that
no,
work?
No, he would die. He was in
Buffy.
Oh, come on now,
he
Sam.
He was in Buffy. So yeah, I can see him in Supernatural.
Well, he was in the original Buffy, the movie.
It counts.
All right.
You guys didn't know. Supernatural aspect. And yes, I actually was just watching it, which is
listen,
why I before
if
online.
Somehow Fred Andrews is this warlock behind it all, I swear to God, I will run down the street naked and be so happy.
I will take pictures and then just send them to Sam. So she can
see
herself.
And you guys know, not share with anybody. It would make me so happy. I would, well, you know, we'll see.
But you like the scene where, like, season 3, we follow Fred as he walks up the stairs to his bedroom and opens the door. There's, like, a pentagram.
No, he opens the door, like, with his arms. It's like,
poof, oh, and it just that'd be dope. Pops
open. And Sam's eyes just bug out.
No, and then Hermione's in the bed and be like, I knew I'd see you later. That's the fan fiction that I want.
But I would
write it for me, please.
All right, Shay, get on that.
Yes. Sam, me, Sam, and Shauna have to work on that, guys. I think it'd be epic. Yes. I actually like that. That whole plot is amazing. Just one more thing I want for season 3. I want to see just how, like, you know, if Veronica does do her little speakeasy, how it happens. And I just want to see more. I want to see more of Moose. I want to see more of Kevin. I want to see more of Josie. Don't make them season regulars if you're really not going to utilize them. That is a waste of resources. I am sorry.
No, it's true. 2 seasons of very little development with Josie is sad, and I would love to see more of that. She's such a beloved character that it's a shame that you can't do more with her. And there's no, I feel like there's no reason. Let's do, unless she's got other things that she's doing on the side, but she was a series regular this season, so there should be no excuse why we couldn't have seen more.
And she's been in the main poster since the beginning, yet we don't see her
often. And, of course, we have Jasmine Jones in the chat, and I forgot to say this. We need more Jughead and his mom and his sister, Jilly Bean. Like, they've been mentioned a lot, so I think they're going to come.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I see the season as just a season of just kind of missed opportunities, where you tease something for so long, and then the payoff is kind of a letdown.
Sophomore slump.
Well, I mean, we see like the whole FP and Alice, and you know they had a child, and that was things the fans had speculated for a while, and then we just get that one nice little emotional moment, but that was it, and then it's just forgotten.
Oh, I want to see more Phallus. FP and Alice. That'd be great. I actually see how that relationship actually develops now that my husband's a murderer. I can actually put the time and effort into a relationship with you.
Yeah, I mean, we never even see like Jughead even learn this information that I had a half brother. But I never knew.
Yeah.
And I guess he's dead now. So, but.
And then him and Betty embracing, be like, is this awkward?
This is awkward, right? We share a brother in
Galilee. But we, you know what? Whatever, screw
it. I sent your brother to his death. Sorry.
Yeah, I felt like that chick thing just fell flat to me, too. That was the big reveal at the end. Like, chick was really dead the whole time. Great.
Chick was a ghost. You know what?
I still want Nev Campbell to be Gladys. That would just make my life.
That would be. If Nev Campbell somehow popped up on this show, then I'd be done. I'd let them do whatever they wanted.
Yeah, but I mean to set Chick up, because I like the idea of Alice, like somebody, a baby that she gave up because of the situations that she was in when she was a younger woman, that are now coming back to haunt her, and the guilt and the way that kind of affects it, and how she acts and excuses maybe Chick's actions. We saw a little bit when she thought that was the real Chick this season. And then when it turns like, that wasn't a real Chick and the real Chick's been dead the whole time. Like, well, great. We never really, thanks.
Cool story, bro.
Cool. At least we could have like Chick showed up at the end and like, I was never really dead. I don't know. Just whatever.
This
just
was not a finale. I don't understand. But you know what? Love you, Riverdale.
We will still be here.
Hashtag Riverdale strong, kind of.
Always hashtag Riverdale strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to have to do it for this episode. But, Sam is going to be rewatching this episode. she's going to have more thoughts, so make sure you follow her on social media. I'm sure she'll be sharing her thoughts and speculations and feelings about this season and the season finale in particular.
Yes, you guys can find me at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. Let's talk about it. Let's write some fan fiction this summer.
Oh, I'll be down.
And show Riverdale what they're missing.
Maybe they'll turn it into a book and then we'll get
Maybe
a deal.
Maybe they'll hire me. I mean,
Let's do it. Hey guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. It has been such a blast being back on the panel with you guys. I love you guys. Hashtag Riverdale Strong season 3.
Miss you,
Ben. And we miss you, Shauna and Shauna. Ben. Thank you so much, Fearless Leader.
That's right. Yes, tweet your well wishes to Shauna and just your heartfelt appreciation and just like good look comments to Ben Bateman Media. There you go. That's where you're going to find him. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. And as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat, sharing your theories all season long. I know Sam and Shay have really enjoyed reading those. We only get to hear a fraction of them, but they enjoy them all episode long. So thanks again for sharing those with us. And we'll see you back here next season. Season 3. It's already been greenlit. It's happening. So we'll be right back here covering all of it right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.